Dan Perkins Media presents a unique and exciting program. Truth Starts Now, a conversation with Dan Perkins. The left has taken away your rights to freedom of speech. Truth Starts Now is a platform for you to regain your voice. America and Americans will be better off if we can have civil and respectful conversations about the day's important issues. Now, here's your host, Dan Perkins.
Welcome back to The Truth Starts Now, and we have an exceptional guest who has a lot of things to talk about. He's a minister who's also written books, and the one that we're going to talk about today is incredibly current as it relates to understanding the relationship between revelation, which has always fascinated me as a read, and what's in the headlines today. Pastor, introduce yourself to my audience and let's start a conversation.
All right, I'm Pastor Paul Begley, and I live in the Villages in Florida, and where I'm co-pastoring a church called Freedom Fellowship, powerful church, really doing well. And of course, we have our own television show called The Coming Apocalypse. It's across several different networks across America. Our YouTube channel is really where we're seeing the most, probably, because it's done quite well. But this, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for the invite. And I look forward to discussing the book of Revelation and what's happening.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you on the show. What do you attribute the success of your church?
Oh, that's a great question. A lot of things. I would think the first of all, really, is the location. Because the Villages is known as 160,000 people that are 55 and older. So it's a demographic like none other in the country. Basically, law-abiding, church-going, voting, Americans. And a lot of them are retired, of course, military. We have more veterans in the Villages than anywhere else in the United States. And so it's that alone. It's the right kind of, if you're looking at it, people who want to go to church, that's a really good demographic. But also the fact that we are a church of freedom. And so we're for the family, starting out with your faith, your family, and the freedom. And so we stand strong on that. We really want people to know that we love America. And we love what God has done in this country, and we want to keep it going. And we certainly are standing as strong as we can to stand for the truth that Jesus is the Savior, and we want families to be strong.
I happen to live in Fort Myers.
Okay,
down the road from you.
You're not far. So you're in the free state of Florida too.
Yes, absolutely.
Actually, my sister lives in Fort Myers, so that's great.
When did you start the church?
7 years ago. And Sunday, we just broke ground to build a brand new church building. So we started in a small building. We packed that out. And so we built, we made a huge tent. I mean, we put, AstroTurf, had a great stage put in, the lighting, very comfortable. But it's a tent. And we've been in that tent now for 3 years. Running about 350, 400 people. And now we just broke ground Sunday, put the shovels in the ground. And by the end of this year, we'll have a brand new building for the folks. So we look forward to it.
And how many will that hold?
That'll hold 4.25. So we plan on going 2 services because we're already pretty well at that max level. We haven't even got the building up. So we're going to be doing 2 services every Sunday morning.
So you would consider that the bulk of your congregation is conservative?
95%. I mean, there's no question about it. I think the Villages itself is about 88% conservative, just the Villages. So yeah, I would say this congregation is 95% conservative Christians, evangelicals, although their backgrounds, they come from all over the nation and Canada, and they're from every denomination that you can think of in America. And yet we're able to come together and to worship the Lord together and with a common goal of strengthening each other, our families, our faith in the Lord and our freedom of our nation. So it's working really well.
You said you have the largest contingent of veterans?
Yes, we do in the United States.
Wow. Yeah. I have a foundation that the Lord told me to start 12 years ago. It's called Songs and Stories for Soldiers, to help soldiers that are retired or disabled because of traumatic brain injury, PTSD, sleep deprivation, and equally important, suicide prevention. And we're in about 138 different facilities across the country. Wow. And it's MP3 based, and we've given away somewhere in the neighborhood of 28,000 MP3 players. So I'd like to talk to you after the show about how we could work together.
All right.
So what caused you to write the book?
You know, I actually, I've been studying Bible prophecy. I've been preaching now for 40 years, but I really have focused on Bible prophecy the last 15 years, especially after I went online doing daily podcasts, and that really took off. And so I had not written, I've written six books that I self-published, but I actually had a vision. I actually had a vision where I seen Revelation 9/11, just like the cover of the book here, just it, the red, you can't probably can't see because of blur.
Yeah.
But the red, bright red Revelation 9/11. This actually was like suspended in the air in front of me. And I said, Lord, what is this? And I went into prayer, picked up my Bible and went to Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, and found out that this was the verse where Apollyon comes out of the bottomless pit and he brings with him the hordes of hell. I mean, smoke and locusts and then he awakens four more fallen angels in the river Euphrates. And when they come out, they instigate World War III, basically. It's called the Sixth Trumpet War. So when I read what this chapter was about and what the verse was about, and the Lord impressed upon me, it's about to happen. It's about to come. You know, in other words, this is a prophecy where it has not ever been released. I mean, we got a lot of evil in the world, but this, but nothing like the ninth chapter of Revelation. You're talking one third of the world will be killed in a war. We had 250 million people killed in World War II. We're talking 2.6 billion people. So when the Lord impressed me, I said, write a book. I prayed and the Lord just told me, write the book. And as I began to research it, it took me over 2 years to write the book. I realized I need a little help. And I thought, I need somebody who's already a good writer. I'm a preacher. I need a writer, okay, to help me. And Troy Anderson, I'd met him one time in a conference that I was speaking at in California. And I called him. I said, look, I need somebody to help me write this book. It's been impressed on me. And he said, give me 7 days to pray about it. And he came back and said, yeah, I'm going to help you. So we went on a journey. He's a Pulitzer Prize nominated investigative journalist. He's written already four very powerful books that have done very well. And so we went to work on this. And what we thought would be a one-year project turned into a two-year project, because when you start digging into all of the different events, all of the different geopolitical, when you start looking at the culture, you start looking at the Great Reset, which is trying to create a one-world currency, a one-world government. When you look at the green religion, where people are being basically over climate change, people are worshiping Mother Earth instead of Father God. And then you look at the wars of Russia and Ukraine and the explosion of this war in Israel and on and on and on. AI and transhumanism and transgenderism, and you just throw it all together. This world has gone down in so many areas, is committing abominations and decay. And we felt we should explain this, stand for what's right, and show people that there's hope, that, you know, you could turn from this and find Jesus truly, who he really is, and get him in your heart.
That's a very strong message. And yeah, obviously sounds like a very powerful message. But the reality, Pastor, is not one that the majority of the world accepts.
You're exactly right. I mean, when you start talking about the cancel culture, you start talking about critical race theory, when you start talking about the forced transgenderism in our schools, parental rights being taken away, and then you start talking about, you know, the Israel, the nation of Israel, the relationship with America, and how that after they were attacked, how that it seems now that the world has turned against Israel, even though they were the ones attacked. You can understand the geopolitical ramifications, but there's so much scripture on it. And so we really wanted to dig into, and the UFO, what we call the UFO deception, and how AI is taking over the decision-making. I wonder, this last ship that just crashed into the bridge in Baltimore, I think the ship was hacked. The guys, they said for 1 hour, they had no control of the ship. They couldn't slow it down. They couldn't speed it up. They couldn't steer it. And somebody had control of it and drove it right in to the structures, where it's had its most, the pylons, and just took it down. So I wonder sometimes, is AI becoming such a weapon? We talk about all of these kinds of things in the book.
You know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I really agree with you. I'm 78 years old. In a few months, I'll be 79. And I never remember a time in America where the Israeli government and the Israeli people were so violently attacked. I mean, I couldn't believe, for example, that within the last few weeks, we had the majority leader of the United States Senate on the floor of the Senate saying we needed regime change in Israel. And he's a Jew, some form of a Jew. And I see all of the things that are going on in colleges and universities where students and professors are attacking the Jewish state and the Jewish people. We get lied to constantly by the government. And we had a situation where they were told that the agenda item that finally passed the UN, where the United States didn't vote for it but abstained, never heard of that before. And I think that there are people in control who, for lack of a better description, Pastor, live for the moment, but don't understand that there are long-term ramifications of decisions that they make in the moment.
Amen.
And it's a real problem because, I don't think Joe Biden, when he decided that he was going to open the border, that he figured that there were going to be 15 to 17 million immigrants who were going to come across the border and literally invade the United States.
Yep.
No thought of the long-term consequences of what their actions do, because they live for the moment. We're going to have to take a break, Pastor, but before we go, tell our audience the book and how they can get it.
Yeah, it's called Revelation 9/11, and you can get it at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, Walmart, Target, wherever. Basically, everywhere books are sold. And when you get the book, it will really touch your life. We're already hearing from people everywhere. It just rolled out on Tuesday. And it really will touch your life.
And what's the reaction been so far?
Phenomenal. I got people buying five at a time now. And so I told that, then more started doing it. Reason is, if you got a good book, if you give it away, it never comes back. So they're buying five, keeping one, and giving four away to people that think it might make a difference. So it's
I have a new book out, and the building where I'm living is that two of my readers have had the book stolen.
Yeah, that's going to happen. That's right.
Yeah.
So we'll be right back. It's a good book when that happens.
Yes. We'll be right back with Pastor Begley after this commercial message.
I'm Dan Perkins, the author of a new historical romance novel called Sad Eyes. It is a story of a young woman, a beautiful Irish lass with red hair, green eyes, and curves that won't quit. She is born in 1912 in Waterloo, Iowa. She decides she wants to be an ER nurse, but she wants to move away from Waterloo to the excitement of the big city. She is accepted at St. James School of Nursing in Chicago and began a life as a true American patriot, serving her country in two wars. She fell in love with the love of her life. She takes the longest honeymoon in history. This novel is full of twists and turns and is difficult to put down. You can find Sad Eyes at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and jcarrollpublishing.com, or through your local bookstore. Get it, read it, tell people about it, and write a review on Amazon. This is Dan Perkins.
Welcome back. And we are having a fascinating conversation with my neighbor down the road in the Villages, Mr. Begley, and he's Pastor Begley, and he's written a book about 9/11 and Revelations. We want to start off talking about signs and symbols, as some people used to say what they were. You have concerns about the people of the world understanding the signs and symbols that we will be seeing, sometimes with starting with the solar eclipse. So what concerns you about the signs and symbols, Pastor?
Yeah, well, you know, Jesus said, and when he was asked the question about the end times, and in Luke 21, he said, well, there'll be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, distress of nations with perplexity or confusion. The sea and the waves will be roaring, and men's hearts are going to fail them for fear, for looking after those things coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then you're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power. And when you begin to see these things come to pass, he said, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing nigh. So just before actually the coming of the Lord, there will be prophetic signs in the sky. Matter of fact, in the creation, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, God said, he created the sun and the moon and the stars for signs or signals, for signs and seasons or divine appointments, okay, and for days and years. So from the very creation, he put in play these prophetic signs when certain times of comets would come, certain blood moons, certain apocalyptic events, maybe with solar eclipses. So my concern was this one we're having in just a few days, the April 8th solar eclipse across America. It's the second major solar eclipse across America in less than 7 years. It's only the eighth one since we Declaration of Independence in 1776. Matter of fact, in 1811, we had a partial blood moon. 2 weeks later, we had a major solar eclipse. And then 3 months later, we had the earthquake of 1811. Three of them in one day that were over 7 and 8. And then January, another one in mid 8.5. And then in February, the biggest one, 8.8. Why do I say that? Because we just had a partial blood moon. Also that year in 1811, there was a comet called the Great Comet that went over top of the earth. Everybody could see it. This year, we just had a partial blood moon. 2 weeks later, we're going to have this solar eclipse. And while the eclipse is going on, there's a comet that you'll be able to see in the shadow of the moon. You can't see it now. It's too close to the sun. But during the solar eclipse, it will be visible for 4.5 minutes. I believe, I'm not saying we're going to have 5 massive earthquakes in the New Madrid fault line like that year. But I am saying that history repeats itself. And sometimes you need to ask yourself, maybe this isn't God literally parting physically America, but is America divided? Has America, this is America's eclipse. Has this nation become so divisive and we're so tore apart on every issue almost that we're not going to be able to stand as a republic? So we should look at these signs in the heavens and what's going on in the earth at the time of the signs. It's very, very, very enlightening, I believe.
I was thinking as you were articulating all of that, and I was going to say, let me play devil's advocate, but I don't know that that's a good thing to say to a pastor, but maybe it is a good thing.
No, it is. And we deal with that all the time. So
I'm sure you do. I listened to what you said, and this is what came to mind. I've not read your book. This is the first time I've ever had a conversation with you. So it's a new experience for me. So there's no There's no agenda between the two of us here. It's just having a conversation. It came across my brain that we have people who believe that global warming is the result of the activities of mankind, that we are in fact the ones responsible for creating the global warming. And yet there are probably as many people who don't believe in global warming that do, but the vocal minority has tremendous amount of influence. You talked about these physical events of the solar eclipse and this comets and other things. These are could be considered to be natural occurrences. Mother Nature is at work, not God, but Mother Nature, and maybe to some degree man. Do you ever get people who say to you, Pastor, you're missing the point? It isn't mankind or God. It's just the way things are going to be. And yes, sometimes certain things repeat themselves in the nature of the world and how the Lord created it.
Yeah, people do say that. And to some degree, that is so true. We get, you know, we understand the four seasons that we basically have on the planet. We know that, you know, humidity gets real bad. It's probably going to rain. Hurricanes will come at certain times of the year. You know, yeah, there's Tornado Alley, and there's all kinds of snow in Canada. But at the same time, I think that what Jesus was talking about when asked the question about, can you tell us a sign of your coming, the end of the world? He starts in on these apocalyptic events as if he knew they would increase, and the exponentially they've increased. The earthquakes are almost 1,000% more than they were at the start of the century. Now, one could say that's because of climate change. That's because of global warming, and they want to blame man for the change. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the amount that man can affect the weather is so minute. It's not even on the charts. It's literally the earth is coming apart. And Peter said it would in 2 Peter 3, that the earth would eventually melt with fervent heat. God said, I promise you, I'll never flood the earth and destroy it that way. Next time I'll use fire. So as this heating up and these birthing pains of the coming of the Lord, it's not only in the natural exponential growth, but the evil, the wickedness of man, the pure wickedness has increased along with the earthquakes and the different components. So I would say this, yeah, there is global warming, absolutely. But man is not the cause. God is sending this. He already prophesied he was going to do this. And you're seeing now the results of that closing in on the soon coming of Jesus Christ. So, you know, to answer the question, some people just use the events of what's going on for their agenda. And matter of fact, we address that in the book. We call it the green religion. People would rather worship Mother Earth than Father God.
Right.
They've made a religion of it. They've literally made a religion of it. And they condemn each other. If you don't recycle, you know, there's somebody's going to shame you. Pretty soon, they're going to do what's called social credit scores. They already do this in Canada. I mean, excuse me, in China. And I just saw where Justin Trudeau wants to start it in Canada. And that is this. If you don't follow the green ideal and do all the exact things that they say is, you know, use less carbon, you know, don't drive an SUV, put the right kind of light bulbs in, you know, don't stay within 15 minutes of your home, blah, blah, blah. If you don't follow this certain criteria, your credit score will drop and it will prohibit you from being able to maybe find work, get a job, fly on an airplane, be limited. This is what they do in China. And I'm telling you, this is part of the green religion. So I believe that The Bible told us and warned us of these things were coming. And so we address that in the book, Revelation 9:11.
I want to get to your observations about reminding people of the first 9/11, but I just want to address one thing that you talked about just there. I have been writing for years about this whole issue of global warming and climate change, and the focus is on CO2.
Yeah.
And what the people in the media and the climate change people are not telling the world, if you start driving down the CO2 level in the Earth's atmosphere, people will die because we can't grow food.
Yeah, you're right.
And they don't want to talk about that. No. So anyway, I just wanted to say that to you. You said in our break that you wanted to make sure you spent a little time talking about sign and symbols, and we just did that. You want to talk about, remember the first 9/11.
Yeah. Yeah. We start the book in the first chapter about the first 9/11, how vulnerable the entire nation felt. Who's attacking us? We're at war. How many more cities are going to get hit? How many more planes are going to fall? This absolutely brought terror and fear in the hearts of Americans. That 9/11 day was a very, very bad day. But it pales in comparison to the 9/11 of the book of Revelation, a day that no man would ever want to see, when a World War III would literally engulf the world. And basically, this is what the Bible says will happen. It will be a horrific war where a third of the world will die. And so I like to look at what happened in 9/11. The United States did rally. There was for a period of time, patriotism again. It didn't matter what political party you were. Hey, we got to get together because we're under attack. I believe that the same kind of thing will happen to humanity as the closer we get to the coming of Christ, and as wicked as it gets, when we become so vulnerable, when let's just say if five cities tomorrow were hit with nuclear detonation, five American cities, this country wouldn't know what to do, who to blame, or where to start. It would be absolutely chaos. And it wouldn't just be our five cities. I'm sure we would go and hit another 25 cities around the world. So 9/11, the day that happened, it did bring fear and discomfort and just sure terror, but it also reunited the people. I think there will be a turn back to God moment. People will start crying out to the Lord. They will start laying down their petty problems and actually go to work on how we're going to survive in a very traumatic time. So we wanted to touch on that in the book.
Okay. I said to you before we started, I've written four books on terrorism. And part of the book series is an examination of how the terrorists can destroy America. And we don't have, they happen to use suitcase dirty bombs, but they don't destroy America per se, as they destroy the infrastructure of America. You know, and I say one of the things that we have to be cognizant of, where we are most vulnerable as a nation to internal terrorism, is the electrical grid in this country. You shut down electricity in the United States, it's over.
It's over.
Yeah. So I we've got just a few seconds, but we're gonna run over, if you'll just bear with me, because I do want to get your opinion on something. All of this warnings that you have given us, and you've talked about things that can happen. How do my listeners become part of the two-thirds that survive? What do they have to do?
That's a great question. Really, that's a great question. Well, first of all, you have to put your faith in God. You have to have faith that He will divinely protect you if you're doing everything you can do. And so it starts there. First, a lot of people don't even believe. When you say a third of the world's going to die in a World War III, they say, well, you know, hopefully I won't be around then. No one thinks about preparation. No one thinks about storing water and food and the ability to be self-sustaining. Imagine the grid going down. People in the major cities would die within the first week. Lack of water would be the first thing would happen. They
yes,
would
sir.
Stores. Nothing would work. Gangs would take over. It would be absolute anarchy. So individually, what you do is you think about, well, what would happen if that really happened? Maybe I should have food. I should have water. I should have guns and protection from those who would try to take or kill my family or take what I have.
Right.
You know, you've got to be prepared. So you got to be prepared spiritually and physically and mentally and have total faith that when you've done everything you can do, God will take care of the rest.
Well, thank you for giving us the extra time, Pastor. We'd love to have you back on again soon and tell my audience again this brand new book, where they can get it.
Thank you so much. Again, it's Revelation 9:11. It's pretty easy. It went number one at Amazon in the first 3 days. We're very happy about that.
Sure.
Simply go to Amazon.com. You can get it. Or Target.com, Walmart.com, Books a Million, or Barnes.
Anywhere you can buy a book, you can probably get it.
Pretty well. So you can order it online. It's in most of the bookstores. So
thank you for so much. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for meeting. Enjoyed meeting you. Thank
yeah,
you.
Hold on. We'll be right back after this message.
Thanks for listening to the show today. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you'd like to send a comment, please do so by sending it to dan@danperkinsmedia.org. That's dan@danperkinsmedia.org. And thanks for listening.